Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design, and here it is. It's Happy New Year time. Are you having a happy time? Radiance by Design is a show all about you, and as you know, many of you already know, that when I talk about Radiance by Design, it's talking about creating conscious radiance, which, as we radiate into the world, we actually bring back or project out all the reality that we want to have. The energies are moving up these days, are moving faster and faster, and more people, collectively and individually, are creating a reality that's different, a reality for good or ill. There's a lot of polarities out there, but we're only interested in shifting so that we can create the reality of our dreams for ourselves and other people, that we can meet the drives of our soul journey, that we can create what actually amplifies our purpose here on Earth. What on Earth is our purpose here on Earth? I've asked that probably most of my life. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, for those of you that are new, so I'm used to working in these unseen realms. And all of my life, I've known that there was something deep down inside that had a lot more intelligence than something on the outside. But I wasn't always very good at gauging how to behave that way so that I didn't get into reactions. So tonight, what I want to talk about is alchemy, how to be conscious about alchemy in life, how to work with what is your soul's journey. How do we get in touch with our soul and spirit journey in order to create a higher frequency self, in order to create the reality we want for ourselves and other people? I like to call it alchemy, and I got, for some of you that I sent a little note to, out of my little old computer. I'm not very good at having papers that I refer to because I usually get them all mixed up and can't find them, so we're going to ignore that part. Alchemy, according to Wikipedia, is both a philosophy and a practice with an aim of achieving ultimate wisdom as well as immortality, involving the improvement of the alchemist as well as the making of several substances described as possessing unusual properties. Well, that was pretty weak at the end, possessing unusual properties. But basically it's saying it's a philosophy, which we have, and it's a practice, which we're doing and we're going to talk more about tonight, with an aim of achieving ultimate wisdom. That, to me, is probably the most important thing, that we've got a soul journey, and it's going to be wonderful to think that we tuned ourselves in the smelter of life or in the experiential processes of life. We tuned ourselves to become wiser and wiser in the soul, less and less reactive. And then this description brings us to immortality. And to me, the soul's journey carries us infinitely through what? The universe. Through forever. Because they say when you're finished working your way through, and all of you people listening to Radiance by Design and probably Jackie's show right after, all of you have been working really hard on yourselves to get beyond how you've been and to top yourself, to always increase your ability to be in truth with yourself, to have better relationships, to be less reactive, to be more loving, to create the reality of abundance, peace, and grace, to evolve out of the muck and mire of have or not have or greed or despair and all those things, to create a really beautiful, beautiful world for everyone, not just for ourselves. I know all of you have been working very, very hard on that. So I love the way it says this, with an aim of achieving ultimate wisdom and immortality. Whatever you get at this lifetime, you take it with you, don't you? So if we're really good at love, we take it with us when we pass. If we're really good at hating, we take that with us as well. So we want to make some options. And also the karma. My gosh, I've been learning a lot about karma lately. I often say on the radio and in my sessions with people, well, I'm not really sure what I mean when I say karma. To me, it's kind of leftover information which seeds all kinds of reactive tendencies or ways of magnetizing people that you need to finish, or souls that you need to finish off some kind of experience with, and so on. Anyway, I was reading a wonderful book by Kathleen Kingdon, and the book is just a tremendous philosophical description of how the mind works. And in it, she talks about karma, and she talks about it in terms of projections. So, for example, if you're a battered child, she says that the karmic projections on you, everybody involved in your life has some kind of karmic projection on your life, which makes sure that you're kind of in this, what is it called? You know, they say that the observer makes the difference. Well, it's kind of like you're in a net of observers or observations that all have the frequency of that kind of behavior in it. And she claims that that's what karma is. Now, she's been channeling Dwal Kool, I can never remember how to say it, for 30 years. And that's what he has taught. Many years ago, I went to a channeling only one, but a channeling event with a woman who was also channeling, as they call him, DK. Anyway, a very, very wonderful entity. And Kathleen is going to be on my show, Paradigm Shifters, in 2 weeks' time. So we'll get to hear from her in person. But in any case, the way they talk about karma, it's that collective perception is all a part of the same event. So the child that's being battered or the children that are being battered and all the beings around them share the kind of frequency that are involved in this. And that's karma. And as you and I know, I think this doesn't take any particular reference to understand that the way out of karma is to be consciously kind of in that feeling and separate yourself, or at least don't engage the reactive force, but bring your energy fields back into your own center and do some clearing. So my guides always say, call it up, feel it, and command total release, or call it up, feel it, and ask your guides and angels to take it and command total release. And then over time, what happens, instead of getting caught in the wheels of these karmic reactions, you become more radiant. That's where the conscious radiance comes in. And that's been an example right there of a kind of an alchemy. So you got this karmic stuff coming down on you, and you're able to drop in, center, do some clearing of those frequencies, which might be in the form of reactions or physical difficulties. And as you shift all that, up comes your frequency, and you don't attract that anymore, and you've just moved yourself over that particular link to karmic passageway. So it's sort of interesting. And that's alchemy, isn't it? That's a kind of an alchemy anyway. There are many, many kinds, and if you wanted to be specific, but my belief is that as we clear, as we become conscious over what is unconscious, and we also bring in some of the tools available to us, which is universal downloads, these increasing frequencies which are in the universe, connection to the unseen guides and angels as well as that, and our feelings of love, which we're amplifying. The more reaction we take away, the more we do self-love, we radiate out love. The intentional use of our mind and our focus, all of these are tools that can be used in order to help us use, well, they're alchemical tools that help us to transcend limiting forces on this planet, and they spiral, they send our soul spiraling to move it up to a higher level of resonance so that, again, the life we create is less victimized. Yes, that's what I believe. So what we're going to start off doing is an alchemical system, which I love very dearly. My guides and angels taught me this, which is a system of a visualization and energy organization that we call lovingly the structures. So let's join me there. And in the structures, we're going to transform some things, which is, again, another style of this alchemical stuff we're talking about today. We're going to go into the structures, and we're going to transform something, whether it be, actually, usually what we do is we go in and we choose a way we want to become, and then we go into another section and we choose something we want to create, and then we go into the Galactic Healing Center and we do some healing work. So all of those are alchemical in a way, but if you want to get a little bit more juicy, and you want to create something a little more avant-garde, maybe some time traveling. Somebody sent me in a question for this show that we're recording right now. What she wanted to know is, how do we expand time so we have enough time to dabble and explore our creativity and enough time to market and raise the money we need to survive on the planet. That was you, Deb. I love that question. But maybe we could take that into the structures and alchemically stretch time too. There are many who claim that they can stretch and expand time. So let's get to work and call in our beautiful, beautiful structures and have a dynamic place to create the reality of your choice. Close your eyes as you're walking or driving. And above your head, perhaps 2 miles, call in a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of gold light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. Now remember this part, from the upper golden ball to about waist height, 20 feet away from your body, drop a four-sided pyramid. I always use gold lines to make my pyramid. Maybe you want pink. I don't know. You can choose. And then upside down to meet it point to point, drop another four-sided pyramid, the point of which sits in the lower golden ball. Now, as those two pyramids meet, they become an octahedron. And inside that octahedron, create yourself a crystal ball, the outside edges of which nudge the inside edges of your octahedron. And look at the colors of that crystal ball. Oh my. To me, they move round and they're all colors, some of them kind of opaque, but shimmering. Now inside of that, there you are in a star tetrahedron, which is like a three-dimensional Star of David, and start spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And as you spin, you might feel your energies moving up. Good. And now we place in front of us a wonderful screen. And on that screen, we're going to make some absolutely outrageous movies. The first one is all about you and how you want to ascend or transform in this life. I want to be very multidimensional, which is how I see myself in that first part of the screen. Little films that we're making, you see. Filmmaker you, how do you see yourself? Mm-hmm. Good. And when you really get the sense that you can do it, right? I'm using a little like acupuncture. I'm using some universal frequencies and prodding my image a little. Maybe you want to do that too. And now let's move to the next one. The next vision is you creating a project of your choice. And it could be home and family, it could be relationship, it could be a business, it could be a book, it could be a movie. What is it you want to create? See the resources coming, and there you are in there, and you're really enjoying it. And you're seeing all these different people that come by to help, and the money's coming. Oh, any of the resources you need, place, money, employees, or other people, or an altar, whatever it is you need comes. And you see yourself really enjoying this project. It's some sort of great work on your part or my part. And just see how it's working. Isn't it wonderful? And you can ask for more detail if you'd like. Okay. And then before we finish it, see the resources coming to maintain it, to keep it going, or tie it off, whatever it is you're wanting. Yeah, just fill it, infuse it with love. Pretty magical. We can do what we want, can't we? And now close that off and let's move into the Galactic Healing Center. I love this place. And call in your healing team and have them circle around a table, a healing table or massage table, whatever you like to use when you're doing your work. And the first person we're going to work on is you. Now look at your team as well. Who's there? Do you recognize any of the beings in the team? You don't have to. Okay, and now you lie down on the table. And ask them what they would like to do to help you, or what are they going to do. They don't really have to tell you, do they? And sometimes you're going to want them to give you some specific advice or specific information. What they're telling me is to let go of a certain kind of fear, and they're showing me that it lays down the back of my solar plexus and up against my backbone, going all the way down, almost to the tailbone. They're pulling it out as if they're doing some kind of surgery and reminding me to release that part. And then they're filling it with light and pink light. What's going on in your world? And now let's wrap yourself up in light. And the healing team, wrap this whole scenario up, move it to the side, and bring in, replicate the team, because they're magical, right? And a new table, and bring in someone. And have that person lie on the table and tell you what it is they want, or else you might already know, or you wouldn't have brought them in probably, hey? And ask the team for some work on this person. That's right. And sometimes you have the urge to move your own hands around too. You can do that. And we're doing this in the name of the highest. Okay. And ask if there's any messages that this person needs to hear. Sometimes you want to write those down, huh? One more minute. Yeah, this one is a woman who's just had two hips replaced. Big job. Remember, that's what contains the entire subconscious. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Now, I don't know what's happening, but there were some really amazing gritty things in the left hip just as it was going into the spine. And we've taken that out. So that'll be in the etheric. And the prayer is that that moves intentionally into the physical, and hopefully she'll feel a certain amount of release. Okay, now wrap that scenario in light. All right. And wrap the team and ask it all to step aside. And then we want the team to replicate itself. And we have another table here. And who wants to come in to this one? Okay, I've got someone. And this person's lying down. It's a gentleman, and he's lying on the table. It's interesting because this person has a lot of body problems, but they're working on his brain. And remember that the temporal lobes really run the body pain system and so on. And they're really working with his, his whole brain, actually, down at the brainstem, and also in the front, and then the temporal lobes, and they're really working on that, and they're working on his lungs and his liver. Mm-hmm. What about your little patient there? What's going on with him?
Her.
Yeah. Now, what's really interesting as they do that, and we're thinking about alchemy, I'm seeing that in my client here, my patient, they're pulling out a tremendous amount of old injury that is stored in both the heart, the chest, lungs area, which holds karmic grief, but a huge amount of blobby stuff they're pulling out of his lungs and out of his liver. And I'm being shown that that's not of this life. That's right. And they're pulling it out anyway. Now remember, that means that we would come in attracting the kinds of parents that would help us react in such a way as to be able to bring these things up and out, because the soul's journey really does want transformation, doesn't it? At least most of us. When you feel you've satisfied your need to propel the healing process with this person, let's all wrap this situation in light. Right. Good. And now let's choose a political situation. There's a lot of beings who are saying something, which I'm seeing right now as the energies move up, political situations can change very, very rapidly. What looks like it's really like a dead end or nothing's going to happen and so on. And then all of a sudden it can shift, but some of it shifts because of, and maybe all of it, because of our attitude, our intention. So if you're at home or you're hiding out in the outside of some little, we'll just say you're in the edge of Montana, you can have an impact on the political situation in the big world. Sure you can. If you're down in Squim, Washington, you can do that. If you're hanging out just in the Gulf of Mexico, you can have some impact. Let's all choose a political scenario of your dreams, something you love to do something about, and focus on it. We're going to just put it in a galactic healing center as well. You don't have to tell me what yours is, and I won't tell you what mine is, okay? And look at some of the key figures. And again, let's call in some universal frequencies and let's send love or harmonizing energy off our hands to impact that person or those people. Aha. And that council. It's funny. I just saw something really interesting, which is the energy is moving through, so all of a sudden, several of the beings in this big room, their eyes opened and they began to see and feel compassion and expansion where there was contraction and greed. Good work. And you're doing a lot. I know you are. And now let's draw in bright pink light through the top of our heads and out through our chest and absolutely flood hot spots in this country, in America. And then have that pink light running through you over to war places like Iraq and Afghanistan. The shenanigan area of the frustrated Northern Korea. And all over the world, there's so much seething frustration in the populace in different parts of the world and the changing weather dynamics around the world. All kinds of things are difficult for people. But there's also sprouts everywhere. There's good things happening. So just keep sending your bright pink light to all of these places. Circle the entire globe until it's this amazing radiant pink salmon color. Bzzz, and have that color move back into your chest. And then shoot back up into the great central sun. And let's close off our galactic healing center. Thank you so much for being such a great and diligent alchemist. And bring yourself back into your star tetrahedron. and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin until you come into the room with me today. Golly, it's New Year's Eve. Woohoo! We're going to have a new year. Let's all really imagine that this new year is really, really amazing. We're headed toward 2012, which we keep hearing is a time where we're going to be so well connected to different dimensions. Depends who you listen to, right? My guides and angels are holding it this way, that the frequencies are moving up within us and without us, not just on this planet, but all around in the solar system and beyond. They also say that the solar system and the universe are very, very dynamic, and there are waves of change going on out there that are way too big for us to measure. But there's such a good effect on us as a species. We're changing. And as a species, we will become beings with a much higher potential to move out of limitation and create the reality we want. How exciting! So anyway, that potential is increased by our focus, our intent, our love. Well, it can be our hate too, but we're going to do love, right? Our ability to love ourselves. I was listening to David Wilcock talking in September. He's on Camelot. And he was talking about how almost everything to do with working with the universe consciously has to do, starts with our loving ourselves. Without loving ourselves, then all we get from the universe is reflections and mirroring of the different ways that we don't like ourselves. So there you have it. It's sort of magical how you can change the entire universe by changing how you feel about yourself. Isn't that exciting? So what I did was I sent out a blurb telling about what I thought alchemy was about and how I really wanted, and maybe I should even read it. I didn't send it to everyone. How I would like you to send me some questions, because I knew I was going to record this show instead of having it live. So I've got some questions for us all from people who would have called in, but because I fooled them and I did it earlier, they couldn't call in, could they? So here we are. I'm going to bring forward some questions. So what we're saying is that we want to change our reality and create our reality. And as the frequencies move up, we can do that easier and easier. And one of the questions that Joyce is asking is it possible to earn a living doing something that I love, which I have never experienced? And how will I know when it's the right situation for me? Well, that's a pretty interesting question, because if we are creating our reality right now, if we're able to contact the universe and bring through higher frequency energies, I would start right there. When I look at this woman's energy, I go, okay, she's really defensive. She's been angry because she's been through a lot in life. She has a deep, deep compassion and willingness to stretch herself out for animals and others. Really creative, very artistic. And I want to say to her, hey, Joyce, you know what's really good for you? You would want to do a lot of clearing. If it's true that you've had a lot of anger and frustration, call it up and feel it and then clear it over and over again and become conscious of what's going on in your reactive force. The reason for that is that, you know, we just finished saying that the universe, at least according to David Wilcox thing, responds best to us when we love ourselves. We've heard that from others as well. And I'm looking at you and I'm going, there's a whole problem there with you. So it'd be really welcome for your inner journey to begin to look at how you think or what your thoughts are at any given time. Because when I look at you, the frustrations are emanating or radiating out there more than the actual dreams and desires. So if we all take a minute and we pluck from the universe some really, if you raise your hand, the palm of your hand, I've been doing this for years and I love doing it. If you raise the palms of your hands up and call in universal energies, you'll feel a real tingling in your hands. And ask yourself to bring through the higher frequency energies and use it like acupuncture to transform what's inside. So when you discover a frustration, see if you can transform it. Now, I know I was frustrated about an hour ago, and I couldn't transform it like that. Now, essentially, I did, or we did transform it in maybe 20 minutes, a half an hour. But it was a job. It's not a piece of cake. I find that it's really a big deal to get conscious about the feelings that are in there. Try to separate those feelings and reactions from being what the truth of the situation is. See what I mean? So that's a little process right there. You bring that up and you feel it and you understand that it isn't the truth of who you are. It's just a reaction. So what I see for you, Joyce, is that I know you're moving and I see that you're going to find a possibility. I saw this for you quite a while back, actually. You're going to find a possibility of working with two other women or several other women anyway in a situation working with animals. And it looks like it might even be Marin County because it looks like that kind of climate. I'm not sure it's as far over as the coast, but it looks like you'll be in that and that you're going to find yourself working from your heart and working with, it's not just animals, but animals is a big factor. And it seems like several of you create the project, and that's also a part of your soul's journey. So yeah, you're going to be able to make your way in a way that you believe in a way that you love. But remember, it's about calling in the support and about clearing those reactions that actually are offense. It's the defense, right? And it blocks you from receiving your good or from your good actually emanating out into the world and picking up recognition for itself. I hope that makes sense to you. It does to me, and I want to have some feedback on that. Now, here's the question. How do we discover our soul path with regard to our work and career? Now, that's a good question to come right after Joyce's. Your soul path very often shows itself up by by several ways. Like, for example, mine, I'm an intuitive, and I did not want to be one. So I did a lot of things to stop my visions, and guess what? They got clearer and clearer. What happens is your soul's journey will start pushing aside the things that you are doing that don't work for it. So this is a question by Sheila, and I want to say that when I look at Sheila's question, okay, Sheila, calling in the guides again too. Sheila, you're doing some of the work that's on your soul journey. There's a really wildly creative part of this woman's soul's existence. It's making me laugh, actually. There's a performer in there. There's a creative soul. There's somebody who really wants to not just serve, serving, yes, but wants to be very innovative about how you lead people into learning whatever it is you're learning. So you're an actress of a sort. It's not an actress just to be have people stare at you. It's having people look at you because you've got something you want done. You have to be listened to. That's the thing. And how do we find out? It's when we're doing the stuff that we love to do. We're energized. We feel really good about it. And I feel like you're doing some of the things that you want to do because you're fairly energized. But a part of your working career is flat. And that tells you that you're not really on your soul journey when you're going, oh yeah, this is security. I'm doing it really well. But it's funny, I feel a bit flat. That tells you you're not on your journey. But you've got promptings, and the promptings come through feeling better when, for example, you're performing. Feeling better when you're actually working with a couple of other people. Again, like Joyce, on an innovative project that you really want to do and that you really believe in. You're going to give a lot of service in this life, Miss. So the answer to the question is very simplistically, it'll tell you through your feelings. When you feel energized by what you're doing and you can't stop doing it because you really love it. Or like some of us, I mean, I do sessions, and some days if I'm really tired and I do 3 or 4 sessions in a row, I'm just wild, I'm just high, I'm just alive. That tells you you're doing the kind of thing you want to do. That's what I think is the answer. Maybe you can look at your astrological chart as well. My astrological chart is full of transformation, transformation, and more transformation, which means that my soul journey is very often about looking at something and wanting to change it or wanting to turn it into something. Oh, this is the way the situation was. That's not okay. I want to change it into something better. So how many of you have that? I'll bet you a whole bunch of you listening to this show for sure. All right. Now we have another question here. greatest block to my desire to live in total abundance as I continue to evolve my understanding of the exquisite and profound language of astrology and as I continue to deepen the images coming through my paintings. Huh. Now here's something really interesting about alchemy. This is a question from Deb, who's a wonderful astrologer, just amazing astrologer. Check her website, lovedogdesign.com. She's just really talented as an artist and an astrologer and as a friend. But it's funny because I love her and I know a lot about Deb. But I'm looking at this and the image I'm getting is that there's a part of you that just doesn't really believe in your, what is it? It's almost like you have to keep, you don't believe quite, you might think you do, but it's funny. It's like you don't quite believe in your, it's not ability, because I think you believe in your ability, but it's like you don't believe that you have the right to be having a blast, to be having a wonderful time, and to be very abundant all at the same time. And I'm laughing because it's like I see this light, these lights in you that are wonderful and everything's sort of tumbling and creating and so on. But all around it, there's this form that's going, well, it can't be that way or it can't be that way. Ask yourself about that. I hope to hear back from you on my email or something because if this is so, ladies and gentlemen, and all of you could do this, drop into your bodies for a minute and ask yourself if you really believe that you can be having a blast and doing what you really want to do and have lots of money and lots of travel time and lots of, the other question that we took into the structures was, enough time to explore your creativity whilst also earning a living. You can can you have all that? Ask your body if you can have all that. Is there a part of your throat that says, that's not practical? Okay, and I see somebody out there who's going, oh, yeah, I've got all that worked out, but it's not working. But I see you. You have a throat that's really blocked, and your shoulders are really blocked. This is not you, Deb. But this is quite often when I'm talking to somebody who's really got all the lingo down, but you can see in their maybe in their base chakra, the second chakra, that they don't. They got a real holding pattern in there, which means on a subconscious level, they got stuff that's really programmed them to believe it's not possible. So I'm asking you to do yourself a huge, big favor and call up in your body mind, is it possible for me to have just what I want and to create and do the work that I want? Yeah. And I would love you all to do that and then jot down where you find the pressure in your body. As somebody, I'm looking at a woman here, and she's got a huge pressure across her shoulders and across the upper part of her chest and pulling on her arms when we ask the question. That just tells you where you've been contained by beliefs. And if you look at the chest, you'd say inspiration, right? Love. And the shoulders, responsibility, and the arms, how I give and receive, how I give and receive love or anything else, right? And there's all this kind of like frozen section there. When I ask, I'll look around and ask a few more people. Okay, so there's a gentleman that I know who is working very, very hard, and he's working to save his house from foreclosure and so on. And I'm asking him and his energy body if he thinks that he can have whatever it is he wants and love what he does. And he gets very slumped. When I ask his little body that, he gets very slumped and his back gets kind of like he's had too much weight on his back his whole life. And here's a man who really has lived in that echelon in a really very dynamic, always pushing himself kind of way. But I'm going, okay, next time I talk to him, we're going to do some big energy work on that. So I hope you're listening to this show, Ramon. Is there anyone else I want to look at here? Yeah, somebody's got a real gut pain and is very, very cynical about that. Yeah, that's just New Age stuff. Well, it isn't, ladies and gentlemen, because you're a vibrational vehicle of light. And alchemy, the process of transforming lead into gold, is literally changing those heavy, denser frequencies that kind of describe us turning them and lightening them up so that they become a radiant force. Isn't it exciting that we can do that? All right, let's see. I'm looking at lead into gold. Lead is poison too, isn't it? It's a good thing to say. Makes us crazy. Have you ever felt crazy because you're locked into your routine and your way of thinking? How many lifetimes does it take us to free ourselves? Well, it takes a lot of lifetimes until we get the habit of looking at what we're thinking and what we're feeling. And one of the books I read recently said, feel with your mind and think with your heart. Try that for a whole day and see what happens. I like that. It's really fun. The other thing is everything you look at for a day or two, say, oh, this is the illusion of being my car. This is the illusion of my house. This is the illusion of my, my job. Because it's all, we all hear this, it's all an illusion. But the thing is, we're so caught up in our identity and our image that we forget that that really isn't who we are and that we're presenting that in order to make our way in the world. But really, when you want to work from your soul's journey, you don't want to be living into the illusion that you create with your image. You want to be able to release that image and that identity enough to discover something I always have loved. The divine pulse of your soul is like the grass that cracks the sidewalk. It's busily in there pumping up, pumping, 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 transforming, releasing higher knowledge about who you are and what your potentials are. When you back up and drop off your attachment to your identity and so on, then you begin to receive different information from your soul's journey. And also, you can call in from the universe amplification for that. You can actually call in ways of transforming what's blocking you so that you can find a new level of self. So I hope, Joyce, you'll practice that for a while and see what happens. Also, here's something else from, okay, this is from a woman who shall remain nameless. She's having a hard time releasing a loved one without anger, bitterness, or spite. Anger, bitterness, and spite, because she doesn't really want to let him go and because he deceived her. Where do we get the strength to make it last? Where do we get the strength to release somebody and not be angry, bitter, and spiteful, and make that journey last? Where do we get it? I think you bring it in from your guides and angels, and it takes a long time. In your case, what I see is the deception that this guy brought into your life was shocking to you. You had no idea it was going to go this way, which is how deception works, doesn't it? And what it did was it prompted from you an awareness of deep, deep abuse that's been going on in your earlier life. And then you acted out from that abuse, didn't you? You overreacted and you took charge and you were fairly vengeful in your relationships with men. And then you decided you weren't going to do that anymore. So all of a sudden, after a period of lying fallow and working on yourself, you go out and you date and then you're deceived again. And what is evoked in you is an awareness of this very deep place of abuse from way back in your childhood, really, I would say early, and then I would say late teenage years, and then something that you acted around for quite a long time. So if you can do it, I would ask to feel that old abuse energy. I would ask to feel that, bring it up, and transform it, and over again. I would bring that up first and then command total release, because you can't really deal with the guy when you've got this, because this part of you is just screaming for somebody to respond to it, okay? So you go in and you call up the old abuse, because there's nothing that happens to us. I had an issue today, and I know that what I was angry at today comes from a very ancient thing inside of my body-mind. In fact, we tracked it right down with the help of the guides to my soul's journey. and a disappointment that's been running very carefully through my soul's journey for perhaps lifetimes. So the idea is to go in and get hold of that first and do your, call it up, feel it, amplify it, command total release of it over and over again for a bit, and then return to the fellow and then look at him. Now, if you do that, if you have a separate feeling inside of yourself about what that terrible agony is, okay, and it feels like a death to you, it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm just going to die. This hurts so much. And then you do the clearing, and then you get to him and look at him. All of a sudden, doesn't he look, even just for a split second, it doesn't have to last yet. Okay, it will last, but it doesn't have to last yet. Even for a split second, take a look at him. Doesn't he look weak? Doesn't he look kind of more fragile than you thought? You know how that happens? Just get that glimpse and then bring up the other stuff. Oh, but. Okay, that'll come up too. So then here's the final thing that I would want to recommend that you do is just drop yourself into a meditative posture and go, I can't live without him. And you call him up and you exaggerate that. I can't live without him. These are the things we don't want to feel, right? So we feel it. It's really ugly. Feel it, exaggerate it, and then say to your angels, okay, take it. Look what I'm doing with this. Take it. And they'll move it. And you'll find that that will disappear faster and faster if you do that kind of routine. I remember one time doing that, and then for about a day, I didn't feel anything about it. And then it was about 3 days, and then it was about 2 weeks, and then it was months. And it really helps a lot. But I'll tell you something, you got to get to the original pain if you can get there. And the original pain is way back in both your childhood, your teenage years. It's just been amping up. And this is an opportunity for you to step forward into the world and meet someone who's really, really a grown-up. Over the next, I think it'll be soon, although you don't want to be too soon. You want to have time to reformat your deeper belly area, your subconscious programming. So I want to say to you, Happy New Year. And don't forget to call in universal energies to catalyze, like acupuncture does, just catalyze the transformation or the alchemical reaction to that old pain. You can do that. Incidentally, all of you have wonderful guides and angels, and you know that. So calling in the beings of consciousness that are all around you is a really great way to amp up the healing. Okay, let's see who else we've got here. We've got Jonquil. I love Jonquil's questions. She always asks amazing questions as well. Oh, she's not the only one. You're all great. Okay, so Jonquil's question is, my question is, if we become aware of this reality of process, she was looking at, I'll read you her little article comments here. I started reading these articles first, Violent Birth of Stars, about how we can now see into the formations of stars in deep space. And you know what's interesting? She sent me a picture of that, and it looks very like the structures, in a way, how the formations of stars begin in deep space, which blew her mind. She said, doesn't this look like the structures? And then the article about quantum forces entangled life on subparticle level, and then your definition of alchemy. And I think we are showing ourselves that alchemy, the shifting and changing from one form to another, is happening all the time on all levels. Ain't it the truth? And that's what we're talking about in ourselves, through our emotions, in conjunction with the journey of our souls and the universe and love and all that. So my question is, if we become aware of this reality of process, can we affect it or change it? Are we simply observers? Does knowing and observing actually cause change or shift? Let me ask the guides here. It certainly does. Knowing and observing does cause changes and shifts. Excuse me about that. I believe that as we, guides are putting pictures here, as we attune ourselves to these motions, for example, go back to the woman who was trying to get over the man who was betraying her and being deceptive. as she becomes aware of the pain in herself that came from childhood or even from the soul's journey, then she can also become aware of its ability to move. And its movement that Jonkel's writing about, it's the movement. Everything is in a state of motion. Everything is in a state of transformation. Everything is in a state of interacting one with the other, right? So if we can bring up that dense childhood pain or that abuse pain, it comes up, starts moving, and then our ability to get in step with it, not deny it, not suppress it, any of that stuff, but get in step with it, bring it up, and then harmonize with its transformation gets greater and greater. And yes, I do believe intentionally and with love and with observation, with desire, we have a huge impact on what's going on. And we even said that when we were talking about politics or we're talking about moving into the structures with our mind, our intention, our etheric connections, and you. There are people that are hugely affected by what we do in the structures. So, yeah, I believe that we can affect the whole process. And in Jackie's team and many others who are entities from that are not in on this planetary level, they will talk about how, for example, there's space travel, but there really is no spaceship. It's all a creation of our mind. I don't want to get very far into that because that one gives me pause in my intelligence. Not the pause that refreshes, the one that makes me go, duh, because I find it hard to formulate commentary on that level, although sometimes I actually think I understand it. But yeah, we have a huge impact. Everything is how we perceive. Everything is coming from, I mean, think about all the projections we make on each other. We're talking about karma and projections. We're going, those projections come from our perceptions. They don't come from our perceptions, but they ride out on our perceptions. And when we can respond to them differently and step away from projections and observe them, then everything has a different impact, meaning all that we were creating changes entirely. So yeah, I believe that the dynamic of the reality of process, we are dynamically involved with the whole thing. And I believe that collectively, we're just waking up. Some people have always known this, but a lot of us are just waking up in groups and numbers to actually step out of the enslavement of believing in the limitations that we have in the past, that we're going to learn to become multidimensional, that we're going to learn to interact with universal forces and dynamism. I really think it's just infinite what we can do. I love that. I just wish we could have pictures of it too. Now, one of these people, Kathy, wrote a letter also asking about children these days. She's saying there's so many young people between 14 and 27 that are, sorry, I moved on fast, Jonkel, because that's the subject should take a whole show, really. But anyway, Kathy, you asked about children between 14 and 27, and they're still children, we know that, at 27, and so many of them are lost, angry, hopeless. They're doing all this dark stuff, the death stuff, the drugs, the addiction, the alcohol. There's so much drunkenness at such an early age. It's quite amazing. The movies are dark. The television is dark. The enslavement is really at an all-time high, I believe, anyway. The good thing about it is the enslavement is a lot more obvious than it used to be. It seems like you can track down a couple of issues. But in any case, her question is, how come we're not supposed to be saying anything? If you're a parent, you can't really talk to kids about it. You're not supposed to impose your rules upon them and so on. I think that's all pretty interesting. And I feel like, in a way, that's quite true. But given this, how we impact reality, there's a whole other thing. And I've told you often that I've studied Christian Science at a certain section of my life, too, which is a great metaphysical church that started, you know, a couple hundred years ago. But in any case, they talked about, for example, when a child was drinking her brains out, she's a teenager, she's in rebellion, she's in reaction. They kept saying, you look at her, every time you see her, you see in your mind's eye and in your prayers, you see her as a perfect child of God. that she is perfect, she is in light, and so on. And they had many, many experiences that they talked about where that was a system that they used on difficult children to turn them around. And it did turn them around. I'm not saying do that and don't talk to your children. I think that the discipline, for example, if karmic projections, if projections really have an impact on kids, and every time we look at our kids, we're worried because they're dark and lost, the power of the observer is having a greater impact than we ever thought, right? I mean, most of us didn't think that way. At least I'm 100 years old now when I was raising my child. And it seems like if we were conscious about how we looked at and how we projected, that it would be much more empowering for kids to find who they really were rather than buy into a, what is it? It's a rebellion and a reaction that creates the juice of drama, doesn't it? And it gives them the camaraderie being renegades and stepping outside of the system. So I don't know if that really answers your question, Kathy, but I know if you directly try and stop or interfere with kids being really angry and so on, it doesn't work. And it would seem to me, I think we should do some studies on this. Let's do a show on kids and youth and so on. Anyway, it's almost, and I thank you for all your questions. I really enjoyed getting them that way. It's a little different than when you call in, isn't it? I don't get your voice and your vocal tones, but I really can see who you are, and I appreciate that you were so diligent and attentive and quick about sending those in. And my, what a broad spectrum we've covered. I have a very exciting show next week. Here it is, New Year's Eve, and I'm sure a lot of you are making clear intentions and plans and structure is just full of movies that you're going to make this year and so on. And it's wonderful. And my show, A Paradigm Shifters, on Tuesday night is an interview with a fellow named Colin Tipping. And his book is called Radical Forgiveness. So he's got some amazing healing stories about what forgiveness can do to people. And it, again, I don't think it's the same as working with kids, but he's got lots to say about what an impact forgiveness has on people and health and our society. And I remember years ago I took a course on forgiveness, and in that course they were talking about how forgiveness to mental health is the same as vaccinations or to physical health. Of course, that was before the swine flu, so I don't know. And the week after that, I've got a wonderful, wonderful, I already mentioned a wonderful interview with Kathleen Kingdon, who wrote a book called, hang on, The Matter of Mind, An Explorer's Guide to the Labyrinth of the Mind. I love this book. It's simplistically written, and holy mackerel, she's giving me so much stuff to help me unhook my mind from the way it likes to, you know, it goes in these little trenches in its little brain, and it likes to rerun thought patterns, and she's giving me all kinds of wisdom about how to unhook it. And it's channeled by Master Dwal Kool. I'm hoping she will channel for at least part of the show, but she's a wonderful person. She's been channeling DK for 30 odd years, and that's going to be a really exciting show. Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness follows this show, so I hope you'll tune in with that. And I'd love all of you. It's New Year's. It's a new year. We're headed toward 2012. 2010, that's big stuff. So let's just take a minute here and call in from the universe wonderful, wonderful glowing light and all kinds of streams of universal filaments, and have them come in through the top of our heads or in our hands, the palms of our hands, run through our body, and let's send them out, send light out to all of you listening to Radiance by Design, our community. This is a community project to raise our fields and frequency together so collectively we become a wonderful wave. Not a particle, but a wave. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you have any feedback about this show, if you have suggestions for guests of Paradigm Shifters at 8 o'clock on Tuesday evenings, if you would love to have a session with me, I'd love to meet with you too. It's Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Happy, happy new year and much love.